There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Monday. Live local talk over the next couple of hours. Lots of folks stopping by, but I would love to hear from you as well at 343-0106. That works on the text line, also works on the phone line. You can also get through on our social media platforms like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. If you want to reach out directly to me on Twitter, it's at FM Talk 106.5. And you can check out what's going on in real time. Speaking of which, in real time, we'll get to what was put out in real time by Lieutenant Governor of the state of Alabama, Will Ainsworth, today about the toll. It came out this morning. I wasn't sure, but I thought I could hear the yelling from Montgomery. When I stepped outside, I went out to the truck earlier, and I thought I could hear yelling, and it was coming from the direction of Montgomery. It sounded like it could have been the governor yelling at somebody up there. Not exactly sure what all went down. By the way, Jeff Poore joins us in just a second, but I do want to set this up. If you didn't hear it this morning, so this came out 8:17, and I like this. Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth taking his message to Twitter. Going there and saying, a state that built the rockets that sent men to the moon should be able to find a way to build a bridge without extorting the citizens it seeks to serve. And then he linked through the video. We'll play the audio from in just a second. Now, why this is key, number one, is this is not a representative that has any roots in South Alabama. I mean, Will Ainsworth, while he is lieutenant governor for the state of Alabama, he is absolutely a North Alabama political commodity. He is not actively running for any office right now. He just did that, right? Just did that, running for lieutenant governor. So he's not actively running for an office. He is a North Alabama commodity, right? He didn't have any deep roots down here. I mean, he's been on the show once or twice when he was running for office. And he steps up and says this. Number two reason this is so important is Will Ainsworth is one of the members of the Toll Authority Commission, the 10-member Toll Authority Commission. And I've been worried since the word go that we were really outnumbered in this. We being anybody in South Alabama, South Alabama voices, because specifically you have Senator Albritton, the only member of the contingent from South Alabama. Well, let me argue this. Joe Bonner, who was congressman for AL1, chief of staff for Governor Ivey, she's got Joe Bonner on the staff, but Joe Bonner works for the governor. The governor's opinion was pro-toll, pro-LDOT system here, and next thing you know, you've got a chief of staff everybody's going to comply. So to have the lieutenant governor, who's also on this toll authority, to step up and take a very contrary angle to what the governor and LDOT Director John Cooper have rolled out, it's fascinating. This is the man bites dog, right? And this is what makes it a news story. This is man bites dog. And let's roll through. I'm not saying who's a dog and who's a man, who's bite. I'm not saying that. So here it is. This was put out earlier this morning by Lieutenant Governor of the state of Alabama, Will Ainsworth, one of the members of the Tolling Commission. And he had this to say.
I'm Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth, and I hold one of 9 seats on the Alabama Toll Road and Bridge Authority. For the last several months, I followed the proposed toll on the Bayway Bridge project, and quite frankly, I found it to violate every conservative belief and principle that I hold. The $90 monthly toll that ALDOT has proposed for the Bayway Bridge would cost a two-parent working family almost $2,200 a year just to drive to work. That's $2,200 a year that could be used for groceries, school clothes, utilities, mortgage payments, or countless other basic needs. The plan to toll the Wallace Tunnel, which has been completely paid off and toll-free for decades, makes an already outrageous situation even worse. Families that cannot afford the tolls will be forced to drive miles out of the way, which raises their already high fuel cost or forces them to be held hostage in their home county because of simple economics. For these reasons, I'm announcing today my firm opposition to the toll project. If it comes before the Alabama Toll Road and Bridge Authority, I'll be proudly casting a no vote and standing with the hardworking families of Baldwin and Mobile counties. A state that built rockets that sent man to the moon should be able to find a way to build a bridge without extorting the citizens it seeks to serve. I invite you to join me in finding a solution that embraces our conservative beliefs.
Now, I got to point out, Dalton, we didn't have time to talk about this in depth this morning, but like you hear this speech from the desks there, right? There's Lieutenant Governor. If you'll watch the video that goes with that audio, Lieutenant Governor, and I've linked it on the Twitter feed, and also it's linked through on our Facebook page. You see him sitting there at the desk talking to you, right? Like he could have even put up his cell phone camera and done the video. But at the end, when the drum and fife, it's just...
I invite you
right here
to join me in finding a solution that embraces our conservative beliefs.
I'm sorry. I wish I could take this stuff all at face value and not... But, I mean, I was going, man, this is good. And then at the end, it loses some of the kind of the off-the-cuff nature when the drum and fife cranks up in the background. Lieutenant Governor goes 180 from the governor and says he is not in on the toll. Talk to Jeff Poore about that coming up.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1216 FM Talk 106.5. We get more from staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams joins us about 12:35 right now. It's 92. Heat index is only 107, which is compared to where we've been. Not bad. Not bad. I'll take it until October arrives. All right. We played the audio clip this morning. We talked about it. Just played the audio clip again from Lieutenant Governor of the state of Alabama, Will Ainsworth, and one of the members of the Toll Commission, and coming out not just, I mean, coming out 100% against the tolls, leaving really no wiggle room on that. And so many questions about that, the whys and how that plays out. I go to my buddy Jeff Poore. Of course, you read him in Lanyap, Breitbart, Yellowhammer News. Check out his show weekday afternoons on WVNN in Huntsville. Jeff Poore, did it catch you by surprise at all, or you probably already tuned in this was coming?
Yeah, a little bit. He had done a couple of events, one with Bradley Byrne in Gunnersville a couple of weeks ago. And I think while there, while speaking, it was hinted at. But it wasn't a full-fledged like today was, where he came out throwing haymakers.
That's what it was. Okay. And I want to run through this with you so I could check myself on my reactions. My reactions have been, this is bigger to me because I don't see the short-term political gain. I see short-term problems from Lieutenant Governor. I'm sure he has gotten an earful from the governor and the governor's staff. But short-term, I don't see... You know, if somebody's running, the people that have signed on that are running for Senate 2020, Republican primary, they sign on that they're against the toll. I get it. I don't doubt that they are, but it does come with some political expediency. In the case of Lieutenant Governor, he's not actively campaigning right now, or that I know of.
No, he isn't, but he may be a player down the road in this Senate race. He may back a candidate. This may play into the calculus of that. There's a lot of things going on behind the scenes, but it was important for him to come out at this time, just because the new way of the pro toll John Cooper's out there is kind of to try to marginalize opposition is just kind of crazy tinfoil hat folks who don't really understand it and portray it that way to the rest of the state. But with Ainsworth now opposing it, it adds some credibility to it. So the fight, I think, gets a shot in the arm.
Okay. So, and absolutely. And at the same time, it sets up all the media in the state to go around to everybody else in elected position, right? And say, well, the Lieutenant Governor says he's against the toll. He's on the tolling authority. Even if those people aren't, he'll say, you know, how do you feel about the toll down there?
I mean, here's the problem, Sean. There are so many policymakers that are just grossly ill-informed or uninformed about this project. Some think it's a toll bridge to the beach or something. It's kind of down there. Some think that, well, those people, they just want a bridge, but they don't want to pay for it. They're unaware of the Wallace Tunnel getting a toll. They're unaware of how the bay is laid out and the connection between Baldwin and Mobile counties. So perhaps it's laziness on these people. They just had the opportunity to really catch up on it, but they are being asked their opinion, and especially up here in the area that I'm on the radio on. But I don't think they really understand everything and what the grand scheme is that the governor and the transportation director are trying to pull off here.
It's got to be. I mean, it's not that the lieutenant governor and the governor, you know, that's not their complete puppet. We can look at situations in the past, just recently, when we had Lieutenant Governor Kay Ivey. But it is a change from what I'm used to in state politics to have a something that has been doubled down on by the governor being strongly opposed by the lieutenant governor. I mean, it stood out to me.
And it happened a few times with Ivey and Bentley, I think. And obviously, in the past, we've had Democrat lieutenant governors and Republican governors. I mean, that was the case with little Jim Folsom and Bob Riley, if you recall. And they certainly have had differences. I think in this sort of, what you would call it, the modern era, we've never had such a disagreement.
And with this, how does this, if we're scoring at home, like, so what, there's a political portion of it, and then there's the, let's look at the opinions that are going to come out in this meeting in October. You've got this toll commission. We've talked about the governor, the chief of staff. The governor has basically three of the votes, was coming into this with three of the votes, right?
Right.
Now House of Lay, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and she'll have a fourth one with John Cooper, so it's her. You know how it's laid out, our chief of staff and deputy chief of staff.
Yes.
She's gonna have the votes to do whatever she wants to. The only way you're gonna beat her though is just make it where she has to be against it. But that's kind of what I see come together right now. It's gonna be very tough for her to stick with us for the next till October 7th. I mean, just think of everything that could change between now and then.
I want to get into that part of it, the wearing away at it. But before that, I want people just to understand. So you have governor, chief of staff, deputy chief of staff. So y'all, those are three different people, but they're all going to go with whatever the governor's opinion is. And obviously, the governor's opinion is that of John Cooper from LDOT. That's number four. So Senator Albritton was on the side of South Alabama, no tolls. That just put five people in play. I think it was a big, big deal to have the lieutenant governor do this. And there's probably people having to make that decision right now, which way they were going to break on this, you know, see which way the tide is flowing.
Well, here's another thing, another wrinkle to it. State Senate President Pro Tem Del Marsh has come out against it as well. I think there's going to be some movement. And if this goes through and we see them just kind of ignore the voice of the public and the sentiment of the people, I think something legislatively could happen now that Marsh has come out against it. So this is not a done deal, and it got to breathe some life into it by Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth. But there's some heavy hitters now starting to make it known, and then they're not really on board with the whole idea. And I would just add this though: I think it's so important that I think the fight isn't about necessarily, hey, tolls might come to your area in Birmingham or in Huntsville. The fight is that this is the governor kind of steamrolling the will of the people, and that's, I think that's a part to scare off a lot of politicians.
Have you heard, now we have Del Marsh, if y'all just going right back to what Jeff said, Senate President Pro Tem, so head of the Senate, Del Marsh, saying he's against it. Have we heard from Mac McCutcheon, Speaker of the House?
Speaker McCutcheon has early on indicated he supported it, but I don't know that he has supported this iteration of it. So that is that remains to be seen.
Because you talk about what could be done legislatively. I mean, people have talked about a constitutional amendment bill, you know, that would prohibit tolling on federal highways in the state. I mean, I think that's, if that's something that makes it to the ballot, I think it probably has a pretty good chance of passing. But there's a lot of steps to get it to make it to the ballot. But it sounds like those steps are have some supporters there. I mean, do you think it would be a CA, or do you think something else would be done by whether, you know, Del Marsh and maybe somebody else in the House if it's not Mac McCutcheon?
I think there's depends on how many votes they think they got. That's going to be the key thing. How many votes do you need for a CA versus a bill? Who's going to vote for it? And it's also like kind of just whipping votes. Now, how many people around the state are going to want to get crossways with Governor Ivey?
That's what I'm asking.
I think we don't know the scorecard on that yet, but that is, if I'm looking at it, that's probably going to determine what kind of legislative action is undertook.
I mean, this is the Game of Thrones portion. I mean, if you're sitting there, you're trying to decide, if you're, you know, agnostic about this and you're just trying to figure out which way the political winds are blowing, you got to, you know, get on record. And if you're not right, it could be bad.
Yeah, it could be bad. But as I said, just imagine this, that we know 77, let's take Dean Young's poll at its word and say 77% of the people oppose this plan, but the governor is just going to go ahead and do it anyway. That's not a good look. I don't care if we're 3 years out of an election. That's not a good look around the state, and I think the public, there'll be some backlash.
Is this different than the gas tax? Because, you know what, if we did polling too, you know, we would run a poll, I bet you'd had 70-something percent of people oppose the gas tax increase.
I don't know necessarily that's the case. I would have thought it would probably been about 50-50. People acknowledged that something needed to be done about the gas tax, about the infrastructure, and you could say, well, they haven't, you know, we haven't raised the gas tax since 1992. Mm-hmm. I don't think this plan necessarily, where it's sort of like it kind of never sunsets and increases on its own, was something that people really wanted. But I think in that 2018 election, if you go back and look, it wasn't the biggest issue of the day, but it was mentioned. And there are a few races where people ran against candidates who supported it. Just look over there in Baldwin County with Northcutt and Elliott. And that wasn't enough for Northcutt. He lost Elliott. Elliott got elected and supported the gas tax. So it was out there somewhat.
Okay, we got a couple questions coming in here. This one, I did not see, and maybe you didn't either. I'll ask you on the fly here. Did you see the V? You watched Bill Britt's show this weekend?
I did.
Okay, because yes. Fred on the text line says, Bill Britt and his panel said yesterday, we're a bunch of crybabies. I don't know if they use that term, but do you have an opinion on this?
My friend Bill Britt and everybody on that show, they've been great to me and my endeavors on radio. I will just say this. They have been advocates of to do for a long time, even including the gas tax.
Mm-hmm.
Read into that what you want. I don't know what's pushing them in that direction, but they do seem to be on the side of the Alabama Department of Transportation, no matter what the issue.
Now, that kind of frames up my next question. You mentioned earlier if the governor would change her stance on this. What do you think she's not been wishy-washy. The last week or so, it's been pretty solidly, you know, she's like, oh yeah, we'll hold the meeting, we'll hear from you if you find some other way to pay for it. But she seems to be, you know, all in the tolling camp. How does she spin that and get out of that?
She hasn't really said she hasn't definitively said it. I would just say, based on that op-ed though, it kind of gave me that impression, if you read it. You know, especially when you say the cost of doing nothing is more than the cost of that toll each way. So yeah, she sees me leaning hard, leaning that way, I don't think that she's necessarily in stone for that position.
All right. So, but you think if it happens, she's going to spin this around and make it seem organic between now and October 7th?
I don't know how she does it. She may just come out and say, look, I was wrong, and I misread the public, and I listened to my close advisors, and they were wrong. And now that I've heard the voice of the people, I'm reconsidered. So, I mean, she's not running for re-election, at least that I've heard. So she's not really, I don't think, too worried about the political consequences. So spinning it in a way may not even be on her mind.
All right. Well, we'll be talking more about this coming up on Wednesday when you join us on Mobile Mornings. Tell folks where they can find you online.
It's twitter.com/Jeff_4.
Always good talking, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, Sean.
Hey, man, coming right back, we'll take some phone calls. We've got a lot of text here, too. We'll get those and your calls at 343-0106, 343-0106. So there you go. Lieutenant Governor comes out not wishy-washy, double barrel against the toll. What do you think? Do you think this is the break folks down here needed? Or do you think this is just another chapter in the story leading to a tolled bridge and tunnel? Coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Call 35 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Monday. Okay, a couple texts and we'll get your phone calls too at 343-0106. Heather says, this may be a completely ignorant or silly question to ask, but can we get President Trump involved at all in this bridge situation if there's nothing else that we can do on a national level to get more funding for this project? Okay, Heather, that's a good question. Yes and no. In the broader sense, a re-election for President Trump, I think, means he goes forward with that big, big infrastructure project, right, that he was talking about in the past. And I think at that point, if he is re-elected, Democrats will realize they got four more years, they'll play ball. Because, listen, long-term, Democrats and Republicans have come together on infrastructure spending from a federal level. And so that may help. In the short term, Heather, we're looking at the head of appropriations, Richard Shelby, the biggest of the big dogs in Washington. And we got $125 million, which, you know, I mean, if they want to give that to me, that's fine. But as a total of the percentage of this project, it's like 5 to 7%. So there's nothing directly. And another thing, too, that changed. There's so much nuance to this. I get it. Because it's taken months and months and months of this for me to get my head around it. But when they took away earmarking, okay, in Washington, the federal delegation, so our representatives and our senators, can only get the money to the state. In other words, they can't say, we've appropriated this money and it's going directly to this bridge project. They have to have it go to the state and the state has to make that decision. Now, most of the time that would be streamlined, but in this case, it might not. If they're dug in on this toll idea, money comes in, LDOT could say, not saying they would, but they could say, well, we're going to spend it on something else. All right. Yeah, and people are saying, well, yeah, Will Ainsworth is going to be running for governor. Sure he is. Sure he is. I get that. But that's a long-term play. It's not if the election was this year, I'd still play the audio. We'd talk about it. But I wouldn't think it's as big of a deal for the political risk if you're in a year you're trying to get reelected. This texter says, I'm very proud someone's finally standing up for the lower-income people of Alabama on this toll. And the talk around town, as I'm out on my deliveries, we all think Ivy took a payoff to do what she's doing. And a lot of people call with that. I can't tell you you're wrong. I can't tell you you're right on that. I don't think it's as cut and dry as that. But listen, I hear from people every day say the same thing. I don't know that I believe that, but I do believe that she has misplayed this one in a very big way. And you mentioned all the people you talk to that are opposing this toll, where are the Democrats on this one? If I'm a Democrat in the state, and you've heard Senator Doug Jones has done a pretty good job talking about this, but if I'm a Democrat in the state and I'm trying to get more support, get some more clout or whatever. And I'm not saying they have to just make it up. They probably can truly believe this. From a Democrat perspective, wouldn't you be out pounding the pavement with this and saying what this does to your constituents? This is a bipartisan. This is a rare issue. It is a absolute local Alabama issue, local mostly, Alabama at the second level issue. And it's one that is not Republican or Democrat. In the days of populism, this is custom made for populism. There are populists on the Democrat side, there's populists on the Republican side. I don't know why we haven't heard more from Democrats on this. All right, go to the phones at 343-0106 and David, real quickly,
hey,
in Mobile. Hey, man.
First of all, let me start off by wishing you a happy National Aviation Day.
Okay, no, today was National Soft Serve Ice Cream. It's kind of the one I was on, but...
Well, it's also that, too, but it's National Aviation Day today. And
thank you, Wright Brothers.
Do what?
I said thank you to the Wright Brothers.
Yep, a lot of your listeners might not know that the reason you're a Mobilian is because of Continental Motors.
That's right.
But real quickly, I do not get as visceral of a reaction with Will Ainsworth and Chris Elliott and the other legislators leading the anti-toll movement as I do with Jim Ziegler and Dean Young leading the movement. And the reason for that is it's because they're much more reasonable. They haven't said outlandish things in the past that makes me think, you know, what's really going on here. But at the end of the day, what Aldott's really saying is, y'all told us you want this project done, but you haven't given us any money to get it done. Here's how we can get it done. It is up to our elected officials, the legislature, the governor, and the lieutenant governor to come up with the money either through federal means or whatever to pay for this bridge if they do not want a toll. So they need to come up with another $106 billion to pay for this bridge, which, by the way,
not $106 billion. $106 billion is actually a little over. On the project, whole project's 2.1 to 2.4 billion.
Yeah, but they've already come up with other monies like the 125 from the infra grant, and then there's some the
right.
state's putting in some Garvey
billion.
Bond money as well to
right.
bring that number down to about $1.6 billion.
You meant
that's
million.
Left over that needs to
yeah,
be funded.
You meant million. Okay,
billion with a B.
106 billion. You're losing me here.
$1.6 billion.
I thought you said 106 billion.
No.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Which equates to about $100 million a year in bond payments over a 30-year bond period at a 5% interest rate.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to figure out how they come up with $100 million in extra revenue that they can dedicate to a bond to pay for this bridge, because Aldott's pretty much said that any project or proposal that comes back from the teams that are bidding for it that doesn't meet all of the things they want to do with the 215-foot height and mm-hmm. the raising of the bayway and et cetera, they're not really going to consider that project because they want to do everything that they think is going to need to be done in the next 50 years on this particular project so that they don't have to go back and do it later.
You think this is possibly a poison pill? Do you think if you were at Aldott and really didn't want to do this project, you would set it up so it will end up that people won't have it? And then you can say, hey, we tried, but y'all wouldn't do it.
That's possible, but when they tell me that they're trying to think about every possible problem in the future and solve it ahead of time, I've talked to too many aviation engineers for that not to make sense to me.
And those guys can party for sure. Appreciate the call, man. Hey, by the way, Dalton, if you look, we're coming back to the phones, but Dalton, if you look at Yellowhammer, it's one of the Brad Presnell story that popped up. You know how I have an obsession about people in the media not understanding how firearms work. There's a story about when is the right time for campaigns to attack their opponents. Out of the mouths, they got like a red mouth and a blue mouth, right? And firing from the mouths are the entire cartridge. Not the bullet, but the entire cartridge. Like the brass and the bullet are launching out of the mouths, not the bullets. It's like the start of the movie Sniper, with a Tom Berenger movie. It's like they shoot the rifle and the whole cartridge comes out of the end of the rifle. some basic mechanics of firearms, y'all. Let's go to Al in Mobile next. Hey, Al.
Hey, Sean. Like you said, I'm going to play the devil's advocate for a second, okay?
I like that.
I did a poll in the city of Mobile, which is 52% African American. 90% of them don't care if a bridge is built or not. And it appears to me that the only people that really want a bridge are the people in Baldwin County. Now, I'm playing the devil's advocate.
Okay.
So when you say where the Democrat politicians are, well, when October 7th comes and they have the meeting up there in Montgomery, it's black legislators in the city of Mobile and Senate, but there's not none in Baldwin County in Montgomery. So being the devil's advocate, Democrats, to me, probably don't care if a bridge is built or not.
Okay. So that's why it's been, and I would argue this, that you're telling me, and if we're going to overly simplify it in the state, which I, you know, drives me crazy, Al, but we'll do it, that you'll say that's black folks and versus white folks, and you're telling me there aren't any black folks that live in the city of Mobile that go to work in Baldwin County?
I said about 90% that I polled don't care if they build a bridge or not. So what did that tell you?
But what if they do build it, and now, because when they build the bridge, remember, we're going to have to pay tolls on the Wallace Tunnel and the new bridge. So somebody out of that 90% decides they're going to go to the beach, or they're going to go over whatever. They're going to Owa, they're going to go shopping, whatever. They're going to Baldwin County. They're going to have to pay the toll.
Well, I wouldn't, because I wouldn't go over the bridge. If I have to go through Bay Minette on 65, it wouldn't bother me, because I rarely travel to the beach.
Right.
So it's not going to benefit me. I'm 66-year-old African-American in Mobile.
Okay.
It ain't going to benefit me whether it's built or not. But what's going to hurt is that the people that got to pay the toll, it's going to hurt them, which I feel sorry for them. But I don't care if they build a bridge or not.
There we go. Appreciate
okay,
the, as always, appreciate that devil's advocacy. He's got a hell of a law firm, doesn't he? All right, Al. Appreciate it. We'll talk again soon. 12:45. We're coming right back. More calls next.
A man walks down the street. He says, why am I soft in the middle now? Why am I soft in the middle? The rest of my life is so hard. I need a photo opportunity. I want a shot of redemption. Don't want to end up a cartoon in a cartoon graveyard.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Notice the Fox attack is lead story with our news partners at WKRG. Headline, Lake Forest urging residents to call police if they spot a fox. Thought you would go ahead and dial them up. Miss Crabtree lives on 1234 Main Lane. Yeah, she's up. sorry. And then the fox bought somebody at the pool. I'll get back to that in a little bit. Dave in Panama City is next up. What's up, Dave?
Hey, I appreciate you letting me talk. I'm a big fan of your show.
Thanks.
Hey, I just got a quick question. I'm from Florida, and over there we have real strict tag laws.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that they were talking about billing by the tag, just like SunPass does.
Right.
Well, over here in Mobile, I noticed that probably 3 out of 10 cars I go by got dealer tags. Now, what if everybody just drives around with dealer tags, doesn't register, and nobody pays the tab?
Then, you know what, then that will shift the revenue to municipalities, because local police departments will pull over, you know, people they don't believe have real dealer tags, and then they'll make money. And so what your plan is will actually shift revenue back to the local communities. And that's good. That's good. They need the money.
Well, it's kind of not. I mean, like example, a good friend of mine, she had a car financed on a house, but she's had the same dealer tag for 3 years.
It's a little bit long, isn't it?
Yeah, and the cops know it, though.
What about tag applied for? Dave, what if we just right there with some Sharpie marker, break out the Sharpie marker and write tag applied for?
That would work. Put your phone number on there, too, that way they can call you.
That's right. Good deal, Dave. Appreciate the call. Man. Yeah, somebody asking. Once again, the headline said, Lake Forest urging residents to call police if they spot a fox. Good. keep you busy. JR's in Daphne up next. Hey, JR.
Hey, John.
What's going on?
I was trying to talk to you about the bridge.
Let's do it.
What if you could get rid of like 30, 40% of the traffic that's going through the tunnel right now?
Okay, do tell.
Why don't we take the Cochran-Aftertown Bridge and actually put some ramps on both sides of it that work? Elevate the west side, tied into I-165. Elevate the east side, tied in all the way into the Bayway. That's 2 miles on one side. It's about 4 or 5 miles on the other side. Everybody that comes from the Eastern Shore or from Mobile, in Mobile, if they live airport north, could use that route. And if you knocked 25% out of the traffic through there, you'd be back down to 50, 55,000 cars a day.
It's interesting. You said this is a subject we've talked about before. You use airport. You know, we don't know if it's is it airport or Moffitt. I'm with you, though, what you're saying. There's a split point, right? There's a split point where you make the decision to go up and over or go down and around, if you know what I mean. It would be something, you know, to get off, and I go to the Cochran-Aftertown Bridge some, and to do that, you've got, like you said, you got to come down off the connector, then you sit at that light, then you take the left turn, you go back under, then you hit another light. And then is there one more light? I know there are at least two lights before you get up over. So, yeah, it would be, if you had some kind of raised roadway that puts you right on the bridge, that would, I think there would be some more people take that. I don't know if it's enough to, how much you could cut the numbers, but that's, your idea is the kind of stuff that needs to come up.
Let's do one more thing.
Okay.
Let's say you build that, you tie it into the Bayway. Now, I still think the Bayway needs to have two new lanes added. And I-10 needs to have two more lanes added all the way out past where you take the Foley Beach Expressway to keep from just kicking the can down the road, you know. But if you did this, then you could put signs up like they have in Atlanta or someplace on the east side and on the west side that tells you how much time it's going to take you to take the detour one way or the other. And get some traffic moving in both directions. I mean, if I'm hauling down through there and I see the tunnel is going to take me an hour to get through the tunnel, but I can go the other way and, you know, it's going to take a little longer as far as travel time, but it's only going to be 25 minutes. I'm going that way.
No, good point. These are things that can be done to, this is why I say, I think we're being sold the gold package here, there's no discussion of a silver or a bronze package. We do need to improve the traffic flow around here. I mean, that's a given. But can we do it for less? You got the kind of ideas. I like that, man. Good idea.
Well, the nice thing about it, too, is you could be done because all the work could be started on the west and the eastbound side at the same time, whether you do the you know, the extra lanes or not. It could all be done in the next two and a half years, and you wouldn't be waiting 10 for a bridge. At least you could relieve some of the traffic, and even when the bridge gets built, The Cochran Bridge needs to be updated. It doesn't go any place when you get off of it on either side. That makes sense.
Yep. It gets you there onto Pinto Island, and then you can eventually try to get up on the Bayway. JR, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Cool idea. 343-0106, 343-0106. Some good text about the foxes in Lake Forest coming in. You see those, Dalton? Sherry is in Mobile up next. Hey, Sherry.
Yes, good afternoon, Sean.
Afternoon.
Just wanted to comment, follow up on the gentleman that just called. And you were saying, what's the split point for making the decision to go around east side of town?
Yeah.
The tunnel,
for me, it's Moffitt.
Well, I live in the municipal park area, and I never think twice to go around to the tunnel. I'm a tunnel avoidance person for years, and my tunnel avoidance would become a toll avoidance. And I always go around Aftertown Bridge.
Okay, wait a second.
I'm in downtown Mobile in 10 minutes.
Wait a second. So you always go north. You and I live, if you live near Municipal Park, you and I live very close to it.
Yes, I live near you. Uh-huh.
Okay, we live very close. I split it.
I mean, I run out Spring Hill Avenue, boom, get up on the interstate, boom, out to that thing, boom, off the interstate, boom, down that 165 four lane, and there's hardly a handful of cars every time I go that way. That road is not being used.
What if, like,
how many years that bridge has been built, that I-165? It is not being used. And then I hop off and follow the signs. Of course, I know how to go now because I've done it so long. Run around the causeway back there, you know, the Bay Bridge or whatever, you know, down there at the back, and run around and hop up on the interstate. And I make better time going that way than around the other way.
Just think if you had a raised exit, you came off of the connector and it went straight, you just stayed at elevation instead of going through the lights, and then all of a sudden you're on the Cochrane Africatown Bridge.
Sure. And I don't know, a lot of people don't go that way, but I keep telling people it's a beautiful view from that bridge.
It is.
Looking back over downtown Mobile, it's very relaxing. It's not a stressful drive that way. And I just think more people need to use that way. And I hope to have made the meeting the other night, but my car broke down, and so I wasn't able to make it. But I don't think there's, like, signage, like, coming down, like, 43 and 45 and from the north side to direct people to use that route, you know, coming from the north. And so, you know, we don't know what the traffic coming down the north roads are still coming around the way that they've always been used to.
Good stuff, Sherry. Appreciate the call. Thank you for that. And now I rethink the fact that I kind of split the bill. Sometimes I go south of it, sometimes I go north. Of course, I look at the city some like Sherry does, but then I'm often looking out at the Spanish River, see if there's boats all in one place, if anybody's catching fish, or if I need to be out there right then. All right, coming back, hour number two of Midday Mobile. Oh, when I was in Lake Forest, I saw a lot of, not foxes, but, I'll tell you what he said next.